Welcome to Catspina Music.
So today, I welcome Julie Catherine to the program, better known as I Am Snow Angel, to Engaging the Muse, a podcast about process, creativity, and the journey. And Julie is a composer, performer, engineer, producer, sound designer for Ableton, and also co-founder of Female Frequency, empowering women in the music industry. Thank you so much today, Julie, for being a part of this.
Thank you so much for having me, Kat.
There's always some sort of way that we end up together and talking. And the biggest thing between us is the meet through Patrick Ermlich, who is a PR guru and just all around mentor in the music industry, helping artists develop their image, their brand. And I met Patrick probably a decade ago. And working through what it is to be the singer-songwriter and then work through your sound, your image, and what do you want to put out in the world? So if we can start there, what has it been like for you to come through music from one perspective and evolve your work into electronic music? Where was that turning point? What's that journey been like for you?
That is, that was a big turning point in my career. Mm-hmm. So what you're alluding to is my journey from a more traditional singer-songwriter to someone who's much more electronic. Alongside that transition, I began producing my own music. And that's really what spurred the transition. Because when I started producing my own music, I naturally followed a more electronic path without trying to. It's just where I went. And once I started doing that, I really didn't want to go back. And eventually my sound did evolve in, or has evolved into something that's kind of a mix. I like to mix organic sounds with electronic elements. Mm-hmm. But there was a huge shift in about 2013. Up until that point, I had been making albums and playing shows in a more singer-songwriter Americana vein. And you mentioned Patrick. I had sought out consulting services with him. And, you know, I think what happened was he and a couple other people in my life, another one is another dear friend of mine named Tony Kniff, who was my songwriting coach at the time. I think that some of those people helped guide me in this direction. And I remember Tony really encouraging me to learn how to produce my own music, really just so I could get a better handle on my songwriting and so that I could make demos that represented my vision better, so that when I went to band members, I could explain what I was looking for. So that's why I dipped my toe into production. But then once I started, I realized that I love production itself. And I started staying up all night making these electronic demos and just having such a good time. And it was like, I was like a cave person who'd been given fire. I was just, it was a whole new world. And I had already been playing music for a long time at that point. Playing guitar, playing piano, writing songs, singing, fronting a band, playing open mics. And once I stumbled into the electronic production world, my whole outlook changed. My whole relationship with music changed. And I remember bringing those early demos to Patrick and saying, listen to these things I'm making. I really like them. And he really validated that and said, you have to go with this, go in this direction. So that was kind of the transition. And it's when I feel like my career really got some momentum.
Yeah. as I'm hearing you talk, I'm thinking about the energy you have to be a self-starter and teach yourself what you need to know to evolve. But if we go back a little bit, where were some of the early teachings of music, or when did you recognize that, you know, this was going to be a path for you? Did you get started with voice, piano? What was one of your first loves of music?
I remember being really young and my parents bought me, well, I guess I'll go back even further.
Yeah.
My dad sang to me every night the same five songs. We sang all the way to school every day, which is about a 15-minute drive. And my parents bought me this little Casio keyboard with little beats and stuff in it when I was young. I don't know how old I was. and I also started taking piano lessons around five or six, and studied piano with a couple different teachers until I was a teenager. And I sang in the school choirs. I wasn't a particularly gifted singer. I could carry a tune and sing my parts, but I don't think I was really an outstanding singer or piano player, really. But I was musical and took to it to some degree. When I was in high school, I got a guitar, an acoustic guitar, and I mostly taught myself. I took a few little spurts of lessons at different points. And so that was kind of the training I had to become. I was in an a cappella group in college. That was the training I had to just kind of go into the singer-songwriter career. And I think I knew enough music theory to help me with the songwriting. Although, as I'm sure you'll agree, a lot of music is intuition. It's not theory. It's nice to be able to have that information to back it up, but I think the magic comes from somewhere else, not from technical knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, I can really relate to that. I think it took me a long time to get out of the mindset of the technical, because I thought from age eight, you know, if this is something that I like to do, I have to do every little piece of it and study it formally and really know and absorb all the little things. And it wasn't until about 5 years ago when I hadn't really sat down and tried to get things out of me creatively, mm-hmm. that I got that feedback that just follow your intuition, just mm-hmm. see what comes up and let it flow, which felt really different for me. And then in that sense, do you have like some artists or even within the realm of electronic production, people who really influence you and kind of guide you from that sort of perspective, not quite book smart approach?
Right. You know, I'm trying to think, when I was first making those electronic tracks, some of the artists I was listening to, you know, I had been in love with this Postal Service album, Give Up. Mm. Is that what it's called? It's one of my favorite albums. I should know the name of it. My mom brain's taking over. Anyway, I think it's called Give Up. It's really good. And I think I connected with it a lot. I had loved this album back in the early 2000s, 2004.
Right.
One of my best friends and I drove cross country and we listened to it over and over again. So this was already kind of floating around for me. Mm-hmm. I think I connect a lot with it because it's electronic production with very traditional singer-songwriting. And I like that combination. So that was one, you know, early reference for me. I also remember discovering Grimes when I was first making those electronic demos. And she definitely seemed to be doing a lot on instinct and musicality and not worrying about doing things perfectly. And so her early stuff was a big inspiration for me. Of course, you know, Thom Yorke, when I discovered his solo stuff, his electronic project, I remember feeling really, really very inspired. I guess what all these have in common is they are still song-based electronic music.
And
and that's the direction I've gone as well. Sometimes when I say electronic music, people think of something that's kind of less traditionally song-based. Mm-hmm. I think people don't realize there's quite a range, quite a scope within electronic music.
Yeah. Well, of course, I'll be listening to these artists now, both of whom I've never heard of. So I'm so excited to get into this now.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yay. Yeah. I'm excited to introduce you to them.
Oh, that's great. And now you had also mentioned being a young girl and having that musical experience with your father. I did notice the cover you did, Crimson and Clover. And I'm just such a fan of old school and music from the 60s and 70s. Was that partly influenced by some of your musical upbringing or the experience you had as a young girl and hearing the music of our parents? What was that like? How did you gravitate to that?
You know, it's so funny. I think on a subconscious level, it probably was influenced by singing with my dad and, you know, the stuff he sang me was a lot of like James Taylor and Mamas and Papas and stuff like that. What happened with Crimson and Clover is, you know, I was heavily pregnant at the time. It was around the time you and I were working together. And I thought, oh, I think I'm going to record a cover. And I didn't know what to do. And I was operating in a different realm at that point. I wasn't really much of a perfectionist, probably because it was hot and I was pregnant and I didn't really care. I was like, this will be fun. And I can hear it in my vocal. It's kind of, I mean, I think some people like that about the vocal. It was not a lot of takes. I was probably sitting down. And I remember I just started singing that. It's an old familiar song. And it just felt really easy and fun to sing. So I did it, which is different than some of my other work, which I'll put kind of, you know, I don't want to say I overthink it, but I put a lot of thought into most of my releases. And that one was one, maybe there was a little less pressure because it was a cover. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I could feel that and I could sense that in the track. And let's talk about some of these works, this body of work that you have. You know, from what I sense and what I gather from just this idea that we've been really in a single driven world for quite some time in the music industry, but somebody like yourself, I've looked at two albums, of course, in particular, Mothership, and there was Crocodile, which I haven't explored a lot of, but Mothership that I saw live at National Stardust, which was amazing. Mm. All of that imagery around the concept of that. And now to your latest release, Elegy. You seem to me like a person who really does honor concept. So what does it feel like for you to land on that theme and start the process of building that soundscape? And what one other thing I thought was so wild, I wonder if you've seen this or felt this. Mothership, I know you recorded and you isolated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or in that beautiful cabin upstate. Elegy was not so much a forced, I couldn't quite find the word. It wasn't a forced isolation, but in some senses, being in quarantine and the pandemic, you know, it was a different type of isolation. What has it been like to create these concepts and these albums and sort of that common ground space, the idea of just being a little bit more in your solitude and in your isolation with it?
Mm. To your first point, you know, how do these themes emerge? One thing I've noticed is that I start working and the theme of the work presents itself to me. Mm-hmm. So once I learned that, it was kind of a relief. I didn't have to think up a concept. I start making stuff and the concept becomes clear. So that has been what has happened with these last several releases. You know, Mothership, as you said, I was alone in the cabin in the woods when I made that. And Elegy has been during the pandemic. I think it's safe to say that artistically, I thrive in isolation. And I've learned that about myself over time. I didn't really want that to be the case. And it's not that I'm not collaborative, but at least I hope I'm collaborative. But something about my creative process when I'm working on my own music, there is a meditative quality to it. And that often is something I do on my own. They were very different types of isolation. Like you said, Mothership was by choice.
Yeah. Yep.
Elegy was, you know, in this lockdown situation, I just started making music. And Elegy is actually the first of several releases I'm planning to put out this year. So it's been a very creative time for me. You know, despite some obstacles to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it different for you to approach this? Also, I love the word. This is something new. I follow you on your socials and on Instagram. A word that you use often is meditation. You know, this idea of music as meditation. Has that been a word that really has inspired you to, again, let that intuition guide you, let those sounds sort of come to you? Has that been by choice, or did that just also evolve, that word?
I think it's been an evolution. About, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 8 years ago, I began to explore meditation. Not directly connected to my music. I mean, everything's connected, so it was connected in some ways, but it was something I wanted to do to help me with anxiety and to feel more grounded. And it worked. I studied with a Zazen meditation teacher, and I got some meditation books and a meditation cushion, and developed a practice where I sat for a certain amount of time every day and did readings and writings, and it really helped me. And it did help my music indirectly. You know, I got more creative. Yeah. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I think there's been a shift where the music and the meditation have joined now more directly. And I think part of that is because in the pandemic, with a baby, without childcare, really, I lost that flow, that rhythm of being able to sit and meditate in the quiet. You know, it just hasn't been the same situation. So instead, you know, late at night, when I sit down to unwind and make music, because that's my way to unwind, that has become my meditation. And that's how these first tracks ended up the way that they are. You know, there's not, as we had talked about in a previous conversation, there aren't vocals, or at least not prominent, you know, lead vocals on them. And these were really my meditation. And it made sense to release them out to the world as that.
That's so incredible. I also feel, this came up in a conversation, is the idea of having an outlet during such stressful times, not only the pandemic, but just times in our lives when we turn to other vices and other things when we're feeling a little out of sorts. But music's always been a constant, and it's just been so nourishing to be able to have an outlet and to have that. And it just comforts us in ways that I just think is unexplainable at points where mm-hmm. it just does something to mm-hmm. our makeup. Mm-hmm. And so this work and what you're evolving and what you're putting out to us, we're so grateful for. And it's just so beautiful. I love it. Everybody is going to turn to that album on Spotify and take a listen. Love that. And just to circle back and come to how we worked together on Hold On, and Hold On being the song, I remember texting you and being so scared. I was all by myself for a period of time during the pandemic, and Hold On had sat on the shelf. And I just knew it was the time to put that out there. I filmed the music video right here in this bedroom and other little parts of my house. You have been involved in producing some footage for me for that video. And it gets me thinking about not only how did we get in contact with each other through Patrick, but when I sent you an email and I said, I'm going to pitch a couple songs to you. I have to dig back and see what that email was. But I'm wondering, like, for you, when you work with artists, what do you listen for? What do you try to pull out of the demos or something from that producer mindset that will help you bring out their best selves and take this song to that soundscape that it really needs to evolve? What do you listen for?
That's a good question. I think, I do think that when you're producing music that is song-based, as opposed to just kind of, you know, like a total ambient soundscape or electronic soundscape, when it's song-based, I think the quality of the songwriting is a huge factor in how well the song turns out. I think the song itself is, and the songwriting are really important. And a song can turn out really, really cool that isn't, the songwriting is maybe, I don't want to say not good, but maybe not as strong or not as catchy. Cool production and soundscape and beautiful vocals and interesting elements can definitely elevate that song and make it just as good as anything you listen to. But it's a lot easier when the song is, there's a lot less work to do on the production side when the song is just really good. And by good, I mean, kind of like, you know, gets stuck in your head. And that doesn't have to be like it's even a pop song. It could just be like a little piece of it gets stuck in your head. You know, like the listener can carry it with them and they want to go back and hear it again. That's what I mean, I guess, by strong songwriting. And that is subjective too. So I'm sure that my taste is subjective. I don't remember the email you sent me, but I do remember hearing Hold On in the context of whatever that email said and thinking, this song really, you know, this song is sticking with me. I want to explore this more. Yeah, it's a great song.
Thank you so much. And that session with you, having the opportunity even just to play an instrument, you made one of my dreams come true in the studio, where I've never played it on any of my records, even though it was just that little piano bit and I tried some guitar.
The piano part you played was the really beautiful part of the production.
And I was so vulnerable and I was a little intimidated and scared because I'm so self-conscious about the idea of perfection on instrument, because vocally I've been recording since I was 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. And that's never been something that scared me. I was just like, I want to do this. But instrumentally, that's been very, very much a goal of mine. So thank you for nourishing that and nurturing that. And I hope I can continue with you. I think we've got some creations that mm-hmm. we're going to explore. I just feel so inspired.
Thank you. Kat, thank you. Thank you for all of your warmth. And, you know, the process for me, I get so much out of it too. I've been on both sides of things as an artist and as a producer. And that process is important. You know, when you're making art, it's not just the final product. It's the process that adds, you know, it is why we do it. Mm-hmm. So,
I felt that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love working with women and, collaborating in that way and creating the environment that I would have liked to have had when I was making music and not producing it yet.
I just feel that there's so much more on the road ahead for you. So thank you for taking the time out today to share part of your journey and that evolution. And I'm inspired by inspired people. And Julie, I am Snow Angel. Thank you so much for being a part of this series.
Kat, thank you so much for having me.
If you want to learn more about the process, creativity, and the journey, check out my website, katspinamusic.com. Thank you again for listening.